The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
It's the most shocking hour of lie detector test drama all year.
Do you think you can beat Ryback by yourself?
Yes. The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Pointing at what? I didn't even know that was up there. Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Actually, it does. Mr. Abrams said you could be lying.
How can I be lying? It's an opinion, you idiot.
You're right. It is an opinion. Why don't we get something more? Why don't we get something more concrete? Did you work with Brad Maddox at Hell in a Cell? Did you work with the Shield to win at Survivor Series? Did you? Answer it! Answer it!
I want answers!
On the next Marvel.
Odd, that last voice didn't sound like Dean Ambrose. But I'm not going to lie, we are here once again at the North American Wrestling Connection. As sponsored by WrestleChat.net, my name is Nikki Heyman. I have a few of the usual suspects around the table, including one that is projecting from all the way on the other side of the planet, Mr. Shane Beeman.
Oh, good day, good day.
Good of you to show up tonight. Where were you last week?
Oh, my God. I actually had some errands that I had to run, and you guys were on pretty late.
It happens.
I know.
It happens. And, yes, Brian Henniger will be joining us a little bit later, so watch yourself, Shane. Also here tonight, another veteran podcaster, Mr. Tyler Brown.
Hello, hello. Well, you know, this week it was an interesting week just because I did my whole sweepstaking thing, and they didn't give me the exact thing I was promised by the end of the week. So I said, look here, you know, don't make me have a Jim Cornette incident here on the interwebs. So they delightfully, you know, gave me what I wanted. And, you know, we don't want a Jim Cornette incident at the Chili's. That would be bad.
No, that would be extremely bad. Although it would be fun to watch you screaming through the to-go window. This has been a scary week for the WWE because, once again, they have had to do a giant shuffle with their pay-per-views. Now, last month it was more, oh shit, you know, we need to put title matches on our card. This time it's, oh shit, we can't put a title match on the card. Shane, I bet that freaked you out.
I had absolutely no idea what they were going to do. I mean, first CM Punk gets injured, we don't know how bad it is, and then find out he's gone in for emergency surgery. And that, of course, puts a thought in your mind, is he going to be okay for the upcoming pay-per-view? And, of course, he's not. So that leaves everything up in the air of, is Ryback still getting a title shot? What's happening? And then, of course, we get a replacement match instead of the WWE title match. But I can't complain.
I'm not going to complain just yet because, as I've said in previous broadcasts, if it puts Dean Ambrose on my TV, I'm happy. Now, Tyler, they did give us a replacement match, and they kind of took this emergency surgery and, you know, helped it push the angle along. Are you good with that?
I mean, yeah, as long as it's not one of those matches that ends up with so much hype behind it, and then by the time you watch the match, it goes, really? That was it? And then you end up with, like, maybe a situation where there's too much of a gap where it just still feels like something's missing. I mean, it kind of does right now, but, you know, hopefully they'll, it seems like as the week has progressed, they're adding on more matches, so hopefully it'll be good enough of a stacked card that, you know, people won't go in 5 minutes to it and call their cable company and say, I want my money back, this is shit.
I don't think they will. Actually, I'm a little happier that the TLC match is now a six-man with Ryback and Team Hell No versus The Shield. And WWE has even done us the favor of expanding on The Shield's writing injustices with their attacks on Bryan, on Kane, on Randy Orton, and whoever else just happens to be by. Shane, if you saw SmackDown, what did you think of The Shield's explanation video?
I actually have not had a chance to watch SmackDown yet, but I did get informed about this, and I'm just saying, I just thought it was brilliant work once again by Dean Ambrose and everybody else, but I don't know, I still feel like one of those people that's like, oh, come on, just say that they're a heel group, for goodness sakes, just do it.
You don't like the fact that they're playing them, they claim themselves tweener, even though we know they're heels?
Oh, no, I think that's brilliant, like, the fact that they're saying that they're tweeners, but, like, where's the proof, man? Video proof or it never happened.
Now, let's see. Tyler, did you see this video?
No, unfortunately I didn't, but, I mean, from what I've seen of The Shield, I did watch about 90% of SmackDown tonight, and what I've seen of The Shield, yeah, they're more towards the heel side, just because of, you know, they say they're fighting injustices, but then, like, I think it was either JBL, you know, was trying to explain that he couldn't fight Vicky Guerrero for many reasons, one of them being she's not in the ring, so they were taking it out on Randy Orton and that sort of thing. And it's like, okay, yes, but, you know, the whole original idea was that you all were fighting injustice, but where's the injustice?
Well, and that's kind of why you need to see the video, because that's some of the things they explained. They attacked Randy Orton because he was the one who beat the crap out of Brad Maddox, and they didn't think that was fair. They were going after Ryback because they believe that everything that he's had since his debut was pretty much handed to him, that he didn't earn where he is. And I'm trying to remember what Team Hell No's excuse was. Why they were going after them.
They didn't like Brian's beard?
No. It wasn't quite that simple. I forget exactly, but they made it very clear, you know, what they saw were injustices. And the comment was made, not only were we here to right injustices, we're doing it for ourselves because we've lived through it.
Ooh, I know why they went after Team Hell No.
Okay.
Brian made them a horrible salad.
Stop that. No.
Hey, at least it wasn't a salad that came from catering, because allegedly Cena got a little on the sick side, but they had to clarify that it was not from catering, but I'm thinking that's just to save somebody's ass.
That's just because thou doth protesteth too much when it came to that, but Cena working out there with a little bit of food poisoning, he did all right because he didn't have to wear black jorts. Let's see. Somebody just passed along the info about the video. Okay. The Shield introduced themselves, and they know injustice. They felt CM Punk was being disrespected by The Miz, which is why they jumped in at the lie detector segment and killed Miz, much to my delight. As I said, Orton was attacked because of his match with Maddox. And Team Hell No, the comment was, nobody says no to The Shield. Well, if a 7-foot masked individual with the ability to generate fire no matter where he is tells me no, I think I would listen. But that's just me. I'm actually looking forward to this match, not just because of Dean Ambrose. Honest, Seth Rollins is quite an inspiration too. But I digress. Shane, what do you think of this match?
I actually don't mind it. It's a good substitute for the WWE title match. I'm very happy that they've actually given these guys the push that they've been given. I mean, straight onto a WWE pay-per-view, and they've only been on our TVs for 2 weeks, so that's not bad. And I'll be very interested to see how Dean, Seth, and what's his name?
Roman Reigns.
Roman, that's it. And how they do with their very first WWE pay-per-view.
And I'm actually okay with the fact that the match is to end in pinfall or submission instead of trying to figure out what the heck they were going to hang from the rafters for them.
Yeah, well, and,
go ahead.
That's the end that would work. Like, there's not much they could hang up from there. It's not like the tag team titles were on the line or anything.
Exactly. And that was something we actually discussed last week when we were trying to figure out how to fill out the card. With the tag team champions in the middle of this six-man match, they have an opportunity to take a whole bunch of the tag teams and do a scramble or put them all in a tables match or, you know. We don't have a tables match on the card yet. So... But yeah, I'm excited for it, and I have two very good reasons why I'm excited about it. And that's been more my focus than the ladder match with Ziggler and Cena, or actually the B-belt matches I should be taking more interest in such as Barrett, Kofi for the Intercontinental title, and Cesaro and Truth for the U.S. title. Okay, Shane, I will call you crazy. They're not going to do another Diva tables match because there is no way they're going to be able to top the tag team tables match from a couple of years ago with the pink table with the caricatures of Michelle McCool and Layla.
This is true.
That will never be topped. I can't say never, but I don't think they can top it right now. But the card is filling out nicely, and I'm very interested in it, and hopefully I will have power throughout Sunday to actually watch it, because I don't like my power cutting out in the middle of a pay-per-view. But that's neither here nor there. Currently, last we had heard, Punk is still in Florida recovering from his torn meniscus. It was only a small tear, so they probably, as we joked in the emergency broadcast, he was probably given a local, did running commentary, and Dr. Andrews provided color to the play-by-play. On TV, they're going to play it up as much, much worse. But according to WrestleChat.net, our fine sponsors, Punk's a go for the Rumble. So, you know, that means we're still going to see Punk lose his belt to The Rock, as Josh likes to say, on a regular basis.
Oh. I'm not going into this.
Are you sure, Shane? I dare you.
No. Me, Nikki, you know, me and you have talked about this. We've talked about this, and I'm just like, God, I wish I was a WWE writer right now. I really do.
Oh, I know.
But it annoys me. That's all. Just like, because I love The Rock. Okay, I've been a big fan of The Rock since I was a child, and everything else is one of my favorites growing up. But here's the thing: everybody knows that The Rock's not going to defend his title in an Elimination Chamber match. And that's what everybody tunes in to watch at Elimination Chamber, a WWE and World Heavyweight title match done in Elimination Chamber.
Now, I'm going to partially disagree because sometimes we get a title match and a number one contenders match, because usually the one of the WrestleMania title matches is pretty much decided at the Rumble. Then they use one of the chamber matches to determine the other title that will be defended. So what'll probably happen, you're right, WWE might end up writing themselves into a corner, because if we have a Rumble winner and Rock takes the belt, I don't like this.
Exactly. Tyler, help.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, exactly, it makes no friggin' sense.
WWE's gotten in a bad habit of writing themselves too close to the corner. I really thought that they had painted themselves in a corner with Punk injured, but they've come through that quite nicely. One of the other things that they're still scratching their heads about is that their phone rang, and it was The Undertaker saying, I want to work WrestleMania season. And he was very specific. He doesn't want to wrestle Triple H for the fourth time, and he doesn't want to wrestle Ryback, which I thought was unusual, Tyler.
Yeah, well, maybe he just feels like he needs to maybe wrestle somebody that's a little bit more seasoned, I guess, or maybe somebody that's been more experienced. I don't know what exactly he's looking for, but I guess he wants somebody who's got a little bit of seasoning to him. But it's going to be hard, because if Ryback's a face and Undertaker's a face, that's kind of a weird mix. Normally it's, you know, for something that big, it's always, you know, Undertaker has to be seen as a good guy, and whoever he faces must be seen as a bad guy. So that means they would have to turn Ryback heel, which is a little hard to do with the momentum they're putting behind him.
And I don't think they're going to turn him. I think Undertaker, you know, that might be part of the reason that Undertaker doesn't want to face Ryback, because, you know, there's so many other things that Ryback could be doing. Now, Shane, I should have saved our conversation, because we came up with three or four names that Undertaker could take a look at.
Yeah. It's all right. Luckily for you, I can remember all three of them.
Well, give me a second. Maybe I do still have it, but I'll double check. We came up with a short list of names of guys that that we would be interested in seeing, because I had mentioned that there was only a couple of guys that I could think of that would make me interested, and one of them would be Barrett. The other would be CM Punk, because we've speculated this on prior shows. Once CM Punk drops the belt to The Rock, then what?
Right.
And I think Punk should get a shot at The Undertaker if he's not going to be part of the title picture, just to make up for their meh Hell in a Cell match from 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, you've definitely found the conversation, because that was like pretty much word for word of what you said.
Now it's just, the only other name I can come up with, guys, is Jericho, and we don't even know if he keeps saying never say never, but we don't know if he's coming, you know, he's going to come back for Mania season or not.
And didn't they just recently try to negotiate with him, and his schedule just wasn't working out for what they wanted and what he wanted?
That was a few months ago, so it was they might get back to the table, you know, before the end of the year and take a look at it. But, you know, I'm not getting my hopes up at this point.
No.
So, Tyler, if Undertaker was to get a match at WrestleMania, who would you like to see him face?
Oh, geez. There's not a whole lot of quote-unquote veterans, you know, in the locker room anymore. 90% of them are Hall of Famers, and there's no reason, especially those who are still working in a backstage capacity, it wouldn't make sense for most of them, because they're way too old and they're, you know, well past their prime.
Mm-hmm.
So you need somebody who's not quite new to the business, because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you put them in a a worthwhile storyline, you would almost have to start now and make the story go all the way through to WrestleMania off and on to keep some sort of continuity to kind of build them up as the prime opponent for The Undertaker. I don't want John Cena. And the reason is John Cena's got his own pile of noodles to deal with at this point. So the only person I can really come up with is CM Punk because he's well-seasoned, like my French fries, besides the point, though. He's a well-seasoned guy. He's been around for a while. He's a hard-working motherfudger. And, you know, of all people, you know, from some of the wrongdoings I think that WWE has done to him, you know, not promoting some of his stuff and, you know, that sort of thing, or like when he was in the Macy's Thanksgiving parade, they gave him basically the last-minute promo. They didn't go all throughout the week, you know, hey, by the way, this Thursday when you're eating your getting ready for Thanksgiving, you know, watch CM Punk. He got like a last-minute, like the day before on WWE programming or that Monday or something. They didn't give any sort of, you know, extended length of promos. But, you know, if John Cena were to have been, you know, in a Thanksgiving parade, you know, they would have hyped it up every other minute. Hey, by the way, do you know this Thursday they're going to have John Cena at the Thanksgiving parade and, you know, and wherever? So I think really that's the least they could do to him. You know, build CM Punk up to a point, let him drop the belt, and put him in a storyline that goes all the way through WrestleMania with The Undertaker.
I'm good with that, and you're right. The promotion was horrible because you got the parade wrong. It was the McDonald's parade, not the Macy's one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, McDonald's, Macy's. Started with an M, all right? Jeez.
Doing it wrong. Don't make me go
to Dairy Queen now.
One of these days I want to see one of your tirades. I want to see if you could actually match Cornette.
Over to the goddamn thing. What, you think I didn't want it? It's only the one of five Dairy Queens in Louisville, and y'all can't get that shit right. Damn, wouldn't order that shit if I didn't want it. Where's my ice cream now? I want ice cream bars.
And where are my ice cream bars? Anyway,
I'm still saying that's a good idea, and they should get on it. But whatever.
Now I was reminded of it. I was digging around on my DVR, and I found the episode of Dream Machines that John Cena was on. He showed up wearing a CM Punk ice cream bar T-shirt.
Hmm.
Interesting. So, let's see. What else have I got in this pile? Oh, yeah. Tyler, it sounded like you watched TNA last night.
Unfortunately, yes.
I feel for you, man.
There was nothing on, so I just like, oh, okay, I haven't watched this in a while. Let me see if I can keep up with this crap.
So, did you see anything about pigeons?
Pigeons? Oh, are you talking about a certain wrestler from New York that sounds like an unappreciative fan of the wrestling business? That sort of thing?
Yeah, but he seems to have an appreciation for a woman's ass, but, you know.
Yeah, well, would you be talking about a certain formerly can't be called a Dudley now? A certain Mark?
No. I wasn't talking about him and the daughter of a legend who just doesn't seem to understand the concept of kayfabe. I'm actually talking about a young lady who once had relations with a superhero who decided to come back to TNA even though she, you know, she was the one who walked away, making it sound like she wasn't going to come back.
Oh, whose initials are VS, correct?
Yes.
Ah, Velvet Sky, yes, she returned after 6 months. I didn't notice.
I wouldn't have noticed, but that's only because my TV wasn't on.
Yeah, well, I just didn't notice in general. Just didn't miss her.
No, and it's, you know, I'm glad that she was able to, you know, find her way back to television. You know, I will never say, you know, I would rather see her on TV than Brooke Hogan. Although It sounds like they were going to show a lot more of Brooke Hogan than they were allowed.
Got close. Okay. Kind of made me wonder.
Do we need brain bleach for that for you, sir?
No, actually, it didn't really bother me because I was more focused on the storyline. But, you know, me and Shane were sitting there talking. We're like, okay, now I know at one point it was kind of creepy because there was like an interview And Hogan was talking about the size of his daughter's breast, which is really awkward for one. But then I was kind of like, okay, either she got a boob job because Hogan's now making some sort of quote-unquote money, or they're paying her really well in TNA, which I'm figuring I would almost put money on it, that she is getting paid more than any of the knockouts in the building.
And some of the lower B-carders.
Yeah.
I guarantee that.
But I did get to see my girl Tara, so hey, went up for my homegirl Tara. Just saying.
There you go. There you go.
Somebody who can actually f***ing wrestle. Sorry.
No.
And he's being given a crap gimmick with a Big Brother Stooge, but either way. I digress.
I think I am going to regress. I'm going to get away from TNA before I catch any of that suck.
Trust me, it's hard to get rid of once you catch it.
So, what else can we blather about? Actually, I'm going to go back to, even though we've talked about the Shield, I want to go back and talk a little bit about the lie detector test. Now, Shane, did you really think we were going to get answers?
Oh, hell no. unless you're one of those very serious marks that sits there and goes, oh yeah, we're going to get answers tonight. You have to be completely stupid to think that we're going to totally get answers tonight.
Although it was fun watching my dear Uncle Paul sweat bullets while they were hooking Punk up. Tyler, would you think at some point during that they would have tried to hook my Uncle Paul up to that lie detector?
Yes, but if Rob Van Dam were still in the E, I'd make one joke, but since he's not, the only thing I could figure is he had some really spicy Chinese food before he went out there. I'm just saying, he was sweating. Tell him to lay off that spicy Chinese.
It's either spicy Chinese or, well, actually, I know the reason they didn't hook him up to it is...
Too sweaty?
No. I believe that the county sheriff's office were informed of his reputation and were worried about breaking the equipment.
Ooh.
Because the Miz would have been a smartass enough to ask if he'd ever bounced a check.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, I think Shane's got a good point there. If Paul were hooked up, it would go off before even one word was uttered.
That was not actually me,
but...
I did say Shane, didn't I?
You said Shane.
Oh, it was Jason, I'm sorry.
That's fine. But you agree, Shane, don't you?
Oh, definitely.
It would have sounded like as if a kid won a jackpot in an arcade, just everything going off all at once. Jackpot!
I don't have a button for it, unfortunately.
I think then you could have really actually said, pipe bomb!
There would have been an explosion in the ring, and seeing a laptop shattered and smoking, and wires everywhere. That's just another night on Raw.
True.
Now, speaking of Miz, I gotta give him credit for trying. He is trying so hard to be face. Shane, it's not in his DNA.
No, I'm sorry, but, there's some people that are just not meant to be faces, and unfortunately, Miz is one of them. He's just, he looks so awkward doing it. It's like, if you watch the video, you can see at some points there's a point in his head where he's like, God, I wish I wasn't doing this. But them's the breaks, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If he wants to get his push back.
Yeah, Tyler, what do you think of his face turn so far?
It's not quite reminiscent of his original debut in the WWE, where he had to announce the Divas competition, where you could tell he was extremely nervous and trying really hard. But it's to a point where he comes out, he's very well sharply dressed, and I give him credit for that, because I can't wear a suit that well as he can. But, yeah, it's... Mike Mizanin is a heel. He was always, should, and should always be a heel. I mean, even on Tough Enough, he sort of kind of gave you that edge, like, oh, okay, he's not going to be the nice guy all the time, or ever. He's going to do what he's got to do to get the job done.
precisely. Him and I will throw Randy Orton in this category. Just the way Orton presents himself is extremely heelish, even when he's a face.
Yeah.
That might be my bias speaking, but I just have trouble seeing Randy as a face, even though he grew his hair out a little bit and went back to his 03-04 look and that ill-fated face turn of his in late 04. But yeah, Miz, the corniest crap comes out of his mouth when he's trying to be funny. A your mama joke at the lie detector test. Really?
Ugh. No.
And it's the stupid what he said to Sandow on SmackDown, where he mocked my idol. Oh, he mocked Damian Sandow.
He mocked Sandow. He mocked Sandow.
And just using a stupid playground humor. You know, what 21st century superstar wears his father's robe and a horrible beard to the ring every night? Oh, it's you.
Ugh. Awful. Anyways.
Yeah. So, you know, it just don't make sense. It's not working, Miz. You're trying too hard. You're doing it wrong. I didn't even need the soundbite for that. It's not working yet. I don't know what he needs to do.
He might as well have made an Anchorman joke like, oh, where do you buy your clothes? At the toilet store?
Well, no, he made the comment where, you know, that Sandow buys his wrestling trunks at Victoria's Secret just because he wears pink.
Yeah, well, you know.
And Miz comes back to the curtain and Bret Hart punches him out. So, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think Bret Hart ever wore ties. He always wore pants. 9 times out of 10.
Well, it's, you know, just, I'm just saying. I'm speaking mostly of the color and not necessarily the style.
Are you trying to imply you want to see Bret Hart in tights?
Not today's Bret Hart. Give me 90s Bret Hart in tights and I'll be okay. I don't think I could stand seeing Bret in tights today.
Well, the show wouldn't be able to be PG anymore at that point.
Yeah.
It'd be TV, oh my.
No, for TV, oh my, we'd have to go back a couple of years, and I wish I had the picture handy, where a rumor was going around that Bret Hart actually was going to perform in a Canadian stage production of Aladdin, and he was going to play the genie.
I heard about this.
And there's a picture of him in genie pants, or hammer pants, depending on who you ask. It's out there. Go look it up. I'm not going to go looking for it right now.
Good God.
And no brain bleach.
Don't hold us or this podcast responsible for anything you might hear.
Oh, hi, Muckamuck. Any sign of our fourth?
Nope.
Bastard.
Oh, God. Somebody,
I'm crying out loud.
You actually found it. Oh, dear God.
That's weird.
Yes, one of our panelists listening in went and found the genie.
Oh, shit.
Looks like he just got out of bed.
I've also seen this picture photoshopped with Shawn Michaels draped all over him like cheap curtains.
Oh, jeez.
That's okay, I'm not going to brain bleach that, but I will comment about this.
Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
Oh, thank God, I've been waiting for that all show.
Yeah.
So, no Canada. Oh, wait.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
So, let's see. I'm trying to find something else to talk about because I was hoping somebody else would show up, but it doesn't look like he's going to show up either.
Well,
Well, I got to say one thing, though. When you were saying it was a little childish of some of the stuff that Miz was saying, couldn't you also say the same thing for the stuff Antonio Cesaro was saying about how, you know, everyone living the American dream, but then, you know, everybody in reality looks like the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, and they showed him back in the 80s in his...
polka dots?
Yeah, his polka dots, saying that everybody's the American dream now or whatever.
Well, I didn't feel the same way about that. I thought actually that was kind of clever. What do you think, Shane?
I actually didn't mind it. I just thought that was just Antonio Cesaro just doing his normal I hate America gimmick. So I didn't really mind. He was just having a dig at the Americans. So.
But don't get me wrong. I was still doing the Dusty Rhodes, you know, American Dream dance. Let me tell you.
Dancing in your living room, if you will.
Cause I'm the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Okay, show of hands. Did anybody think Cody would have come out at this point?
What in the world is going on? Didn't he, like, smash his nose or something like that? Or what happened to him?
No. What had happened is that during a match between Team Hell No and Rhodes Scholars on Main Event...
Oh, yeah, he got dropped. Yeah, I remember now.
He under-rotated on a back body drop and just... completely screwed up most of his shoulder area. So I mean, there's like three or four things different that are three or four different things that are wrong in that area. So he's out for a couple of months.
Gotcha.
And that's why Sandow's been out there soloing and stretching segments by picking random plants. I mean, audience members to answer questions for him. And I think. Half the reason they did the thing about Stump Sandow, since they have not taken the touts to TV yet, is just to save the creative writers time to have to come up with material for him.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive that's what it was for. Because something I just noticed about tout, thanks to our beloved sponsors... WrestleChat.net. This will make you happy, Tyler. I'm going to read this to you.
Mm-hmm.
In recent weeks, WWE has toned down the use of tout on television, suggesting they were pulling back on the social media video service that WWE has invested in.
Hmm.
The CFO, George Barrios, this week said viewers... quote, we'll continue to see it's integrated more and more into all of our shows. We have been kind of Raw-centric. In other words, at this point, you know, tout's not going anywhere, but they're backing off on it because they're thinking if they're going to take all this content that they're getting from fans and spreading it out. So good news, they're not going to do it as much on Raw, Tyler. The bad news is they're going to do it on all of their shows now.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, it's to be expected. My thing was that just at one point it seemed like, you know, Raw was the tout / Twitter show. And they're lightening up a little bit on things, but, you know, they're still doing the Twitter everywhere, you know, even if with the scroll on their mini TLC pay-per-view page, you know, you got the logo of the pay-per-view, the countdown. And then, of course, on every slot for each match, it's hashtag WWE TLC. Shit. Can't get rid of it. Can't get rid of it at all.
It's not, that's not going to go away, Tyler. It will ebb and flow with the rest of the trends, but it's not going to go away anytime soon.
But just remember, I think if there's ever a match, there's something that everybody sees on this show that we don't like that requires brain bleach, we should do hashtag brain bleach. Leave it at that and let that trend.
And speaking of things we don't like.
Uh-oh.
No. This is not a brain bleach thing. We've had several gripes on this show about the 3-hour format for Raw. And this was actually... the question was brought up to the CFO, the same gentleman who was discussing the social media stuff in our previous article. They had asked him about the three hour deal.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. It doesn't sound like WWE will be taking Raw back to 2 hours anytime soon. Barrios touted that the third hour of Raw draws ratings that are 35% higher than any of the programming that was in that slot. So while the ratings are shite for Raw, you know, from Raw's perspective, from USA's perspective, they're making more money.
Yeah, so they're not going to get rid of it.
No.
Poop.
Also, and I'll throw this to you, Shane, Saturday Morning Slam has actually gotten people to watch the CW network again. My God. And Main Event, for those who have ION, is apparently drawing 15% better ratings than anything in that slot. So, you know, what do you think about this, man?
I don't think it's bad. Like, it's brilliant that, they've actually got people watching the CW network again. I mean, Jesus, we thought that was impossible. But we've made an event. I think what makes Main Event so brilliant is the fact that you only get like two, maybe even three matches on there, and you get to see good quality wrestling. Like, I actually watched Cesaro versus Kingston, like champion versus champion, and I got to tell you, I liked that match.
Even when it degenerated into a tag match that took up the rest of the show.
Oh, well, okay, that part I didn't like, but you know what I mean? Like, it was good watching, like, a good quality champion versus champion match, especially with those two, seeing as though they're coming along very well in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and but when you got things like that happen like that, like getting it changed into a tag match, yeah, you get frustrated.
But to play devil's advocate, Main Event seems to have more wrestling per, you know, allotted time than any of the other shows that are out there. I mean, you know, I if Mikey's around, maybe I can find out how much, you know, get a time for you real quick. Let's see, match times. Have total match time for Main Event this week. Because I'll guarantee you that because we had the champion versus champion match to the tag match, that this show even actually had more wrestling than 2 hours of Impact and potentially more than the 3 hour Raw.
I would not be very surprised with that. I mean, main thing I see of Raw these days, and what Tyler was commenting on before, is like, and that they're scaling back on, is like, I'm seeing less replays now, which is, thank God, because it's like, we get it! Someone got attacked earlier on during the show. You don't need to show it every 5 minutes. And now with the touts getting put out, then obviously they're probably thinking, oh wait, people actually tune into Raw and watch wrestling. We might have to do it.
I also think that's part of the writers getting used to the three-hour format and seeing that they've got this extra time to stretch, whether it be a match, a segment, something backstage, hyping, whatever. Since they're talking about tribute to the troops, we've got, you know, with Christmas coming up, you know, just getting themselves, you know, getting everything they need to give us what we've been asking for since they went to the three-hour format. More wrestling! You know, how hard is this?
And they might actually have to start pushing the younger talent now. I mean, because now obviously, like, with obviously Punk getting injured and Rhodes getting injured, I mean, you're going to have to get guys to step up. It's just lucky enough for Punk that the Shield got put in there and were getting a push at the time.
And I don't think, you know, I think that, I'm going to get back to Sandow for a second. I think that at some point we're going to get a call up to be his apprentice, that somebody is actually going to answer his three questions. I don't know how long they're going to drag this out. Please don't drag it out as long as the Master Lock Challenge, but drag it out, you know, drag it out for another month or so. to get him somebody. If anything, just to tide him over until Cody gets back, unless they come up with another idea and have Cody get back into soloing in the upper mid card, chasing B belts or possibly getting into the mix for A belts.
But that's the thing though, like who would you bring up? Like, there's not many people in WWE nowadays that WWE has like classified as very smart with them, except for like Mr. A-list David Otunga. So unless they bring him back, I don't know.
I don't know either, but like I said, it's one of these things that I think what they're going to do is they're going to take one of their NXT guys, repackage him, have him come in and apprentice to Sandow, possibly in a managerial style role if Cody is back and they want to keep the Rhodes Scholars going. Otherwise, depending on what they plan to do with Cody, his apprentice becomes his new tag team partner. It works either way.
Uh-oh.
Well, no. This can't be too bad. The GM has been otherwise nice to me lately.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see what the GM's got up his sleeve tonight. Ah, yes. And I quote, some rumblings from the fan base have joked that there should be another wrestling album, especially after the production of WWE's Christmas song, Ring the Bells, which was the biggest load of ham and cheese I think any of us have seen on TV in quite a while. Between that and the cartoon that bookended it, you know, the stuff that I know that they all had some fun with, and hopefully you will be able to at least use this to bring your show out in a smile, since I know there's something else you want to, that you need to talk about that you don't want to talk about. To the GM, that's no way to talk about our sponsors. So, gentlemen, snack bar's open. The restrooms are open. Let's take a few minutes and let them sell some soap. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Argiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
Williams Wear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Hi, I'm Tom Delgado. You are listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. Do I smell butthurt on you?
Oh my.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Tyler Brown and Shane Beeman, and Brian Henniger finally decided to join us.
Nikki, if I'm going to have to hit myself in the head with my own chair, every time I'm late, I'll request earlier hours at work. Jesus!
Well, I would accommodate you and have you swat Shane for no-showing us last week, but his contributions tonight have covered your ass as well as the seat of your chair is covering it now.
Yes, and thank you, Shane, for being a trooper.
That is perfectly fine, and I'm sorry I had to make you hit yourself in the head with a folding chair, but it was necessary.
Okay, by the way, Okay. All those birdies and butterflies are on my head. Knock it off. You're too loud.
They're not. Thankfully, they're not getting picked up on the microphone. Although the dancing kitty's got to go.
Where's Jim Williams when you need him?
And what will we do with a gym?
Pony.
Poopy.
Oh, you mean?
Pony.
So, but actually, this makes for a very good segue to look at something that is on the dark underbelly of the wrestling world, which unfortunately has been shown off by a former developmental talent. Make sure I've got his name right. Kevin Matthews. Who decided to get it out there about some stuff that happened down in Deep South Wrestling, which was supposed to be another developmental for WWE that didn't last very long. In fact, it shut down fairly quickly. Kevin Matthews accused Bill DeMott of hazing. And a story has come out regarding him, Melissa Coates, Zack Ryder, and a box of donuts.
Sounds like a weekend at my place.
I don't want to know, Brian.
No, you really don't. You really don't.
No, I don't. I want to say noodle incident, but unfortunately, we know that the details have come out. Essentially, the way it was explained in a video, which I actually think it was Kevin Matthews and not Gallows, but I could be wrong. A video that was provided where somebody told the story. Essentially, let's see, that a lot of the DSW guys didn't want to train. And DeMott would say, well, you come up with something. And if it's good enough, you won't have to train. So who comes up with the idea of giving people naked stink faces with donuts? Really? I think everybody...
Well, there goes... Well, that'll put me on a carb-free diet for a while. Thank you.
Hey, Tyler, did you just flee the room?
No, but I might have to upchuck my Pop-Tarts.
Nikki! Nikki!
It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Brain bleach! But sadly, you know, this, since the way the story is told, you can't call it out as hazing, but it may as well be, because that's just not normal behavior. Or at least, you know, I shouldn't use the word normal because I can't even define the word. Brian, since it sounds like it's something you are familiar with, what the hell, hero?
Yeah, I mean, now, look, before we go, before we destroy this, and by God, we're going to destroy it, hazing is a part of every professional sports organization. It happens in every football training camp, every, you know, baseball spring training camp. It happens. It's just a tradition that the rookies... They get it a little bit. There's a great story that, well, you know, in the NFL, if you're a rookie, you have to carry older guys. You have to carry their pads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a guy who played for the Dallas Cowboys, Dez. I can't remember his last name. I think Dez Bryant. Walker. Dez Bryant. Thank you, sir. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not carrying pads. I'm here to play football. So everyone said, okay, we'll get him back. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides to take some guys in the team out to dinner to kind of, you know, get some, you know, just say, hey, look, it was just me. I didn't mean to get mean. He says, okay, all right, that's fine. So said, bring whoever you want to bring. The guys who he invited brought the entire team, all 53.
Nice.
To this nice steakhouse in Dallas, and they ran up a $55,000 tab. So it happens. You can't take it way too far. This, I think, takes it too far. It's not as bad as what they used to say happened in the Army Air Corps, where when you got your pilot wings, they would do what was called blood winging.
Yes, I remember those stories.
So it's not that bad, but I mean... Is it deplorable? Is it disgusting? Yes. But we can't say it doesn't happen in sports. It happens, I'm sure, in every professional sports organization.
But that still doesn't really forgive it. I mean...
I'm not forgiving it.
Okay.
I'm not forgiving it at all. I'm just saying that people who are saying, oh, this is terrible, this is a horrible thing. Yeah, it is. But this has been going on, you know, a lot longer than just this moment. Should it have happened? No. Of course it shouldn't have happened. I'm just saying that this is not, you know, this is not uncalled for. I mean, no, it is uncalled for. This is not unprecedented is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, no. I agree with.
I just had a very disturbing thought.
I'm listening, Muckamuck.
This sounds like one of Andy Reid's methods, except he uses cheesesteaks.
But wouldn't he have eaten them before he started using them on his players?
Time's yours. Eat your steak here.
But, and to the point, yes, there's plenty of hazing going on, you know, and the wrestlers try to tame it down a little bit by calling it ribbing, where essentially you are, you know, you're making fun of, you're doing something at somebody's expense. And I've seen little ones. I remember at one IWA show, somebody deliberately misplaced a belt and had a wrestler in a flying panic because he thought he didn't bring it to the show. We gave it back to him before his match. See, that you can do. What we saw with Ryder and Gallows and Melissa Coates, no. Ew, no. Yeah, ribbing is not exactly the same as hazing, but, you know, there's just, you know, there's some things you do and there's some things you don't. I was told a story about a wrestler, about some wrestlers traveling, and two of the guys knew that the rookie that was with them had asthma. So just for fun, they pulled over, made him get out of the car and run a mile behind him in winter.
And give him an asthma attack, probably.
And try to get him have an asthma attack. I don't think he did. He was in good enough shape that it was okay, but it was winter, and it's hard enough to breathe when you got good lungs.
Exactly.
That's not ribbing. That's hazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jerry Lawler tells a story that back when he was working with Kurt Hennig in Memphis, you know, there's a story where you would not leave your bag around certain guys because they would take like your pants out and tie the legs of your pants into this ungodly knot that you could not get loose. Kurt took one step further. He would just take a pair of pants and just cut one of the legs off of him.
I think I've actually heard that story.
I mean, I'm not, you know, saying that this is right. Of course it isn't right. It's wrong and it's horrible and it's deplorable. But all I'm saying is, this is not unprecedented. It happens not just in WWE. You name a professional sports team, you name their training camp, I'm sure something like this has happened at least once.
So then let's see if we can get a couple other people into the conversation here. Shane, now that you've had a chance to get the brain, you know, rinse out the brain bleach, you know, your thoughts.
When you guys first started talking about this story, like I literally had to check it up because I had no idea what was going on. And I've read it over and I'm like, okay, so like from my understanding of it was that, again, Bill DeMott or someone has tried to get these guys to train. And they've said, no, we don't feel like training. So they've said, all right, then, well, what we're going to do is we're going to get you guys in the ring and we're going to give you guys stink faces with donuts. And like that, hopefully to motivate them into training. And that sort of backfired on them due to the fact that the guys that were superstars that were supposed to train were ribbing on the other guys saying, no, you can take them, go for it. We don't want to train. Am I right with that or am I way off?
No, you're right. It's, you know, just the fact that A, it wasn't DeMott's idea, but B, they did it. It's still, you know, it's still not right.
No, of course not. It's definitely not right. Like, I've seen a lot of like hazing and stuff go on over here in the Australian wrestling scene as well, and it's just ridiculous. But unfortunately, you're going to have just, you get them everywhere, no matter whether it's in wrestling, whether it's at your actual work or something. People are always going to pick on the new guy or give them an initiation or something, if you will, to pretty much see what they're made of or see if they can, how far they can push their buttons.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not immune to it. I've had it happen to me once. I will not mention who actually did this. But unfortunately, as a female worker, a lot of leagues that I work for, we don't get separate, women don't get separate changing areas. So here I am suiting up, and one of the male...
And in your case, suiting up is quite literally suiting up.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So while I'm suiting up, one of the wrestlers gets my attention, just says, "Hey, Nikki." And I turn around, and he's just standing there, and nothing but what God gave him. I didn't need to see that.
No.
So to get him back, I looked him square in the eye and I said, what are you compensating for? And went back to getting ready. So I do want to move away from this soon, but I just need one more opinion. Tyler, your thoughts.
Wow. I know that hazing's been going on in the wrestling industry for some time, but just the thoughts that were shared in that, especially when it was said that Zack Ryder just sort of like wiped everything off his face and had the weirdest looking grin on his face, that was just the weirdest part for me.
Now, I think we all agree that Zack's still not quite right in his head anyway, but, you know, he's got a lot of heart, and this just proves he would do anything to get a job in the wrestling industry. And once he got his spot, then they wouldn't do anything with him, so he did everything he could to get attention. And I'm surprised there were not donuts involved in Z True Long Island story.
Actually, bro-nuts. I can't forget the bro-nuts. So, yes, there have been donuts involved.
They're baked goods that are so amazing that the New York Times has called them so amazing.
I have no idea what to say.
I think you've said it all.
I can't even find a button for this. I don't have a button for this.
No. You know, I think Crow T Robot of MST3K said it best. Part of me will never be back. Part of me is gone forever.
So yes, that whole story is just extremely facepalm worthy. And yeah. I do have a button and I need to press it again. Brain bleach! Now, let's go on to something a little happier. And I touched on this, the GM touched on this, as we were going into break. WWE decided to do a small Christmas music video for the benefit of the fans. I'm hoping everybody here has at least seen it.
Yes. Wait, Nick, you gotta help me out here. Come on, Nick, help me out. Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
I'm not going to sing.
Neither am I.
Not required here, but the fact that they gathered a very large percentage of the WWE wrestling crew and got them out there to sing as a choir with Cena in the lead. Sadly, he can't sing. He can only rap. It's two different things.
And now, some would argue that rap is not music. I'm not one of them, but some would.
I might be. So, watching this, Brian, what was your favorite funny background event in this mess?
There were so many. CM Punk, I'm the best in the whole wide world. Hearing Damian Sandow, dude can belt. That boy's got a voice on him.
So, okay. Tyler, have you seen it?
Yes, I have. And actually, it was nothing sort of over the top that really wasn't expected. It was sort of, you expected that everybody who was being featured would, you know, either say their catchphrase or something along those lines. But Big Show was kind of interesting because, you know, I was sort of like, okay, what are they going to do with Big Show? And he's like, I'm going to knock you out. And I was like, oh, okay. Other than that, not impressed. Sorry.
Nothing says Christmas more than a fist in the mush. So, Shane, what'd you find funny in this?
I honestly have not watched it.
Shame on you, sir. Between the bookending cartoon of CM Punk trying to light the Christmas tree and then getting his lights his personal lights punched out by John Cena, to watching the superstars attempt to sing, to hiding Brad Maddox and Jack Swagger in the group, to a few people who certainly did not look like they wanted to be there, to the primetime players who were hamming it up even harder than they normally do, to my dear Uncle Paul and CM Punk looking at something on my dear Uncle Paul's self. Was it his phone or Punk's phone? Anyway, they were distracted by something on a cell phone in the middle of the song.
They were probably distracted by the sexy.
So Punk's, whoever Punk happens to be dating right now. Okay.
Is that Lita?
I believe it's still Lita. But yeah. And since my dear Uncle Paul is easily distracted by the sexy, and he is a married man with children.
Okay. Shame on him. Can I ask you a very quick question about Paul Heyman?
Sure.
And this is not me being mean. I legitimately have a question because I legitimately want to know. I've heard a rumor that Paul is gay. There is nothing wrong with it. I have no problem with it. For my own personal edification, I didn't know Paul was married.
Okay, go ahead, Shane. I was just gonna say, for those of us that don't want to see a bloodbath, we're gonna leave the room.
Oh, no. I'm going to be very nice. And I am going to let someone else answer the question for you, Brian.
Ninja, please. Hell no.
That's all I was saying.
No, it's fine. There's probably some merit to some people thinking that because of some of the outrageous stories that have been told about him during writing out his paychecks to his talent during the ECW days. I've heard some very torrid stuff that would probably match up with what we were just talking about, which I will not elaborate upon, but if you are bouncing around the internet, I'm sure you will find some of these outlandish stories.
Okay. Anyways, back to the funny.
Yes, back to the funny. Let's see. But yeah, the video itself was just inordinately cheesy. And Brian, you're a longtime fan. I've heard comparisons of this video to stuff from the original wrestling album.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the video for Land of a Thousand Dances for the WWE Superstars. It was sort of that kind of thing. I mean, you know, it was funny. I enjoyed it. Have fun with it. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. But I just was intrigued by that comparison, and given the target audience, I almost would endorse a bunch of the guys doing goofy songs. Because the only song from the wrestling album that I've heard is Captain Lou.
Oh, Captain Lou's History of Music?
Yes, with him and George the Animal Steel. And there's an absolutely amazing Mindscrew video out on Newgrounds, if it's still there. Do not watch it in the middle of the night if you have anybody else in the house, because you're going to wake everybody up laughing. I think they could actually make a little money by doing a comedic music thing.
Now, I don't know if you remember this, but back years ago, they did this kind of thing with Jillian Hall at Christmas called A Jingle with Jillian, where she released a Christmas album in character.
I remember that and could not muster up the courage to put money on it.
I mean, and it's done. I mean, use another TV trope. We're going to set a record here, folks, tonight. Of Hollywood Tone Deaf, where she does that really bad singing gimmick of hers.
Yes, I remember.
And quite frankly, I thought it was a hoot. Because I love Christmas music anyway, and I thought it was a hoot.
So it was a so bad is good kind of thing.
Yeah, and it actually hit the Billboard Top 200 record charts for the week it came out. It was like 195 or something, but it was there!
I think that's something that WWE should take a look at. I mean, for us it's going to be pretty groan-worthy, but they could make a few bucks. I was reminded, and I appreciate this. Did you notice that there was a lot less Cena AJ nonsense this week? I don't want to say it too loud because I'm worried they'll bring it back.
Why, yes I did. But I think I know why.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've been given the suggestion to this that they're backing off the storyline because of pictures that we actually discussed on the show a couple of weeks ago with the fact that Cena is dating Abella and Daniel Bryan's dating Abella, and those pictures got out and is confusing the kiddies. It's confusing the little ones. They don't get it. Is Cena still having an affair? Oh, wait, I better not say that too loud. No, I have a button for this. Don't give them ideas!
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, apparently, according to sources, they're not giving up on the idea completely. They're only holding off on it for probably about a month, just to hopefully make everyone forget. Like, this is just WWE thinking that everyone's stupid and they're going to forget. But to see if everyone forgets that John Cena's dating a Bella twin, and then eventually they'll bring the story back.
Trying to get a wrestling fan to forget something.
You may as well try your luck with an elephant.
Well, okay. My example was going to be, okay, if they're going to try that hard, then why do we always get a Christmas skit out of Kane, the original Christmas creature? Between I Hate Christmas to the Zen of Hungry Hungry Hippos when RVD gave him a Hungry Hungry Hippos game as a Christmas present.
I don't like Hungry Hungry Hippos, and I don't like Christmas. He walks off in RVD. I knew I should have gone with Candyland.
No, he said Chutes and Ladders.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. See?
Thus. So, you know.
Damien Sandow says, therefore.
Therefore. But so I can understand why they want us to forget it, because Bray and Nikki are not employed with the WWE and don't seem to be in any hurry to come back.
No.
And I haven't missed them. And I don't think anybody else here has missed them.
Nope.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that.
So. And Brian, you just faded back into the background. Please walk up to your microphone.
Sorry about that. I had a little thing of batteries and I dropped them momentarily. And that's my story and I'm sticking with it.
No, that's fine. What you said something. I heard twin magic.
I said I'm kind of over twin magic. I mean, it was a one joke show and it didn't even work all that good.
Well, you're absolutely right, because I was at the debut, and Brie debuted on a SmackDown, and the swap. The timing was off, so it had to be edited together properly for broadcast. So it got off to a rocky start to begin with, and then, you know, people, you know, Jim, why aren't you here? It's a one-trick pony.
It's kind of like she's the sheriff. It's one joke, and once you use the joke up, you got nothing left.
And
how's that for an obscure reference?
It went past me.
It was a sitcom starring Suzanne Somers in the 80s about this woman who becomes a sheriff.
Okay.
And that's it. She's the sheriff.
That's all. Well, you definitely would have caught me on that one, because I wasn't even born then. So there you go.
But yeah.
But with that joke being said, Daniel Bryan and Cena have to deal with that every single day.
And Nikki and Brie would troll them by deliberately trading.
Ew, nobody wants seconds. Oh, did I say that loud? My apologies.
That can't be any worse than the joke that we told before. I'm dating a Bella. No, I'm dating a Bella. No, I'm dating a Bella. We're dating Bellas. Anyway,
It's more funnier with the pictures, but...
It's funnier with the pictures, but yeah, you're right. So, the only other little development I want to touch on before we call it a night is the brief wrinkle with Sheamus and Big Show about this no contact clause. They both signed a deal where they are not allowed to touch each other until the actual match.
Now, I'm going to say it right now, that's just old-fashioned booking right there.
Oh no, it's very good old-fashioned booking. The problem is they both broke the rule. But I might be doing something wrong by applying logic. Okay.
Well, I don't know. Did they do what Triple H and Austin did back ages ago and attack each other before signing the contract?
Big Show did, but see, this is where I'm going to call him out on it, because Booker said effective immediately, implying even before the contract was signed, and Big Show flipped the table on Sheamus, then he signed the contract. Yeah. And then stood there going neener 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 while Sheamus is blowing his stack. It was beautiful.
By the way, I'm kind of proud of the fact that we're one of the few wrestling podcasts that we'll actually hear the phrase neener neener neener.
No, that's what it looked like, because Big Show was having just such a wonderful laugh at it, and Sheamus's face was almost as red as his hair. And was ready to run over Booker just to get the show. He did a very good job on that. And if you'll pardon the expression, the tables were turned in the main event, where Sheamus did not lay a finger on the Big Show, but he did use a weapon. I mean, Ricardo Rodriguez.
Who essentially is a weapon, if utilized properly.
Oh, he was, and just was sent barreling into Big Show's grapefruit.
Yeah.
So, if I do the wrong thing and apply logic, neither one of both of them should have been punished.
Well, here's the question, though. Based on that same logic, technically, did Sheamus physically touch him, or did he just fling Ricardo into him? Because technically, if Sheamus did not physically touch the Big Show in the process, like if he hurled Ricardo towards him and then let go, that's one thing. But if he physically took Ricardo like by the neck or something and hurled him in the Big Show's grapefruits, then there might be an issue there, depending on how it was done.
Sheamus let go before Ricardo impacted on the Big Show, so he's got that technicality working for him. I was expecting Booker to come out after the fact, absolutely furious, because he's trapped, and Brian, I'm gonna throw another trope. He's trapped by exact words. Because Sheamus didn't touch him.
Yeah.
Carter Rodriguez touched him really, really hard.
Yeah, and now tell you, fella, I might have been physical with Mr. Rodriguez, but I never touched the Big Show, fella.
And Booker somewhere is blowing a gasket. I know he was blowing a gasket, but it was fun. And actually, now that even though I applied logic, even my logic is wrong, because when Show flipped the table, he didn't touch Sheamus either.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It's like, well, hang on a sec. Neither of them touched each other, because obviously Sheamus has flinged Ricardo into Big Show's nads, which, by the way, for Big Show, like, seriously, it just like WWE storylines, Big Show's getting people shoved into his private areas once every 7 years. But anyways,
you're right. It was about time, because last time we did this, it was Vince McMahon's head up his ample posterior in a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like
in 06. So 7 year rule. Go ahead.
We're approaching that time. Then you have Big Show flipping the table. So no rules were broken.
I apologize. I'm doing it wrong. But yeah, Big Show taunting Sheamus was hilarious to me. And then Sheamus throwing Ricardo at Big Show. Well, using Ricardo for anything is funny. So.
Where's Rey Mysterio when you need him? Have Big Show throw him like a lawn dart like he did originally.
I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover. Anybody else got anything before we call it a night?
I'm good.
Tyler, yeah. Shane?
No, nothing new to report here.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right. So before we go, we have one more formality. Tyler, do you have something to promote?
Well, of course I do, for once in the white, great blue while. The Webmaster's Corner has actually returned to the CLW 83 network. I'm in the midst of writing episode 3, but the first two episodes are up with Mike Klaus and one Brian A. Henniger recently. Was definitely great to have him on the show, and we're looking forward to more guests, and hope for another 20-episode run, and going into numero 40, hopefully by the end of the season, middle of next year, and then we'll probably retire and go into season 3.
And I... best of luck with that.
Thank you.
Ryan, what do you have to promote?
Just want to say, listen to this, to the edition of Webmaster's Corner. Had a lot of fun doing that with Mr. Brown. It was a lot of fun. And just want to promote this great website, promote you, Nikki, and promote everybody. And yeah.
Don't go sucking up because you were late.
You're allowed to promote your own stuff, too, you know.
I will fly to Australia. No, I'm joking.
I was going to say, finish that sentence.
No, I'm not going to, because Australians are tough because you're raised tough. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just... yeah. I just want to say I love being a part of this show, and I will try my best to be on time next time if I am ever invited back.
Oh, you'll be back. Not next week, obviously, because it's not your turn in the rotation. Shane, do you have anything to promote, sir?
No, I do not. I am very boring.
You need a podcast.
Oh, geez, are you kidding?
If I can get a podcast, anybody can get a podcast.
And you didn't even promote it, Brian.
Well, we're okay. Well, if that's the thing, it's not on the air right now. But you can go check out the Black Friday edition of Pixel Nation on the CLW83 Network. Go check out all the episodes of Pixel Nation, and we'll be back near the end of this year or the beginning of 2013 with the 2012 awards. Check them out.
There you go.
If I had a podcast, I'll tell you what, it would maybe be two things. Wrestling and football. That's it.
And it would be your version of football.
Well, no, that's just the... I don't want to offend anybody here by calling it soccer, but...
You can say footy if you need to. I'm in trouble, aren't I?
Oh, it's all right. Just do it. Do the Meet the Fockers thing of footy, footy, football.
I don't really have anything to promote because I am here. However, I will let you know that in the coming weeks, I will be presenting the Nikki Awards for 2012. Granted, they will be WWE exclusive. However, I'm going to give out a couple of singular awards to some of my worker friends because I'm allowed and they're my awards, damn it. But every year I try to try to highlight what I thought was some of the best and some of the worst in the wrestling business over the course of the year. I'm not sure which show I'm going to do it on, but I can tell you that we will not be broadcasting over the week of Christmas because I don't want to burden anybody and I probably won't have my equipment. So, with that out of the way, I think we're going to call it a night. So, for Shane Beeman, for Brian Henniger, for Tyler Brown, for the Chief High Muckety Muck Carl Schneer, my name is Nikki Heyman. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection. Please tune in every week. We always have something to talk about. Good night.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.